And just because you got a holiday let in France or whatever you got, don't think you're a big time because you went.
Right, we'll crack on. You briefed him before this, Ryan.
No, I haven't. No, he sent me a direct message saying you're a bit of a tosser, but...
Is it bad? I mean, I just want the world to appreciate some decent art.
Yes, Jamie. Great
answer.
Yes.
Great answer.
You're a bit like Joe Frano.
I've been called a lot worse, I'll take that.
So many years of my life have been prepped to win a World Cup, and then finally to do that was amazing.
And there at the door at 7 o'clock, once we finished our meal, was Brian Kidd and Alex Ferguson.
Love you, boys.
Hello, and welcome to the Broken Trophy Podcast. And on today's show, we're delighted to welcome Southern Vipers batter and BBC Solent Sports commentator Emily Windsor. Emily, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk, actually, about some cricket, hopefully.
Well, it's been amazing, hasn't it? So, we were just saying before we came on air, Southern Vipers have had an amazing run in the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy this summer. 6 wins from 6. How's it been to be a part of that? And I suppose, more importantly, how's it been to have some cricket, like you say?
Yeah, it's been absolutely incredible. I think credit to the ECB for getting this competition up and running. And I mean, at the start of the summer, I didn't really think I'd be getting some cricket. So to actually be playing some cricket, and then the Vipers, we're a really strong unit. It's a really good team atmosphere. And obviously, we are a new side coming together. A lot of people know each other from playing against each other. We're mainly made up of sort of Hampshire and Sussex, who are actually rivals, but we've come together really nicely and we've had some fantastic performances as a team and some individuals throughout the competition. So yeah, it's been a great month, really.
Yeah, and interesting you say individually, because obviously the last game you played, you excelled with the bat and you top scored for the Vipers. So what's it been like for your own? I saw a bit of your interview with Kevin James from the last game, and he was saying, or you were saying, you hadn't the top order in batting well, so you hadn't always got in. So was it nice to get some time at the crease the last game there?
Yeah, definitely. I've been batting at 6 and I've batted 3 times, which is credit to our top order because they've been absolutely fantastic. And all of them, all 5 of them ahead of me, have all performed at different times, which has meant the opportunity for me at number 6 hasn't been much, but you're winning games and you're happy for your teammates and their successes. But yeah, it was really nice to get that opportunity at the weekend, especially going into the final next week, because obviously on a final, more pressured situation. So got a bit of confidence going into that, so hopefully the top order will finish the game off for us and I won't be needed, but if I am, I'm there and I'm ready and confident, and in cricket confidence is really key. So yeah, it was really good to spend some time in the middle.
Now, I've done absolutely piss poor research here, but I read, just being honest, but I read you were an all-rounder. So how does that work then? So you're batting at 6, but are you an all-rounder or you're batting?
Yeah, I am an all-rounder, so I do bowl as well, but I haven't bowled yet in this competition because we've, again, got a really strong bowl.
Yeah, you're basically some sort of, like, tourist. you're not batting, you're not bowling. You're good kind of motivator or something?
I just feel on the boundary as well. So I don't... I think usually I'd coming in most games, especially in a 50 over, but they've been outstanding, to be honest with you, and people have in the bowling lineup and the batting lineup have stepped up. So it hasn't meant I've had many opportunities, but all I said to myself is when I get an opportunity to take it, and fortunately I did that the weekend.
Right, I reckon in the final they'll be like, I reckon, yeah, something towards a century and 5 wickets. they've been keeping you in their back pocket, in their back pocket. Like, yeah, no one really knows she's there, so I'll drop her in the final. Yeah, if you do now, you have to come back on. That's how it has to be the law.
Yeah. I'd hope for a century, maybe not some 5 wickets. I can't see myself bowling.
Well, you never say never.
Exactly. You never know. That was great. I mean, you know, like we were saying, it's just great to get that some cricket was able to be played. And obviously the England women are playing, well, I mean, we're recording this Monday evening and the first T20 with the West Indies is taking place tonight. So it's amazing that domestically and internationally, the women's game has sort of got some action at this summer eventually.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really excited that international fixtures have gone ahead, because I think there was a time when South Africa pulled out that it looked like they weren't, but I think, and then obviously the World Cup's been cancelled, but I think it's so important for developing and and pushing the women game and showcasing how far it's come in this country that we got some cricket. So yeah, really excited. Obviously after this I'll be watching that, because teammate hopefully Katie George will be playing, don't know yet, but obviously be supporting her. And then obviously Danny Wyatt, who's in the Vipers, be good to see her play, who I have no doubt she will be playing. But yeah, really excited that they're getting some cricket, and the ECB have done exceptionally well, as I said, in some weird times.
So we spoke, as you mentioned, Katie. We spoke to Katie earlier in the summer, and also Marie Kelly from who I think was playing for the Central.
Central Sparks.
And I mean, it was such a weird summer, obviously for everybody with COVID and that. Just whether there was going to be any cricket whatsoever, wasn't it? And I mean, you were just saying as well. Obviously, you work in the NHS in a really important and
What does she do, Tom? Come on, Tom.
Remind me, Emily, what it is you do in the NHS.
I feel like that's a cop out from you.
Oh, God. I was in such a fluster at that point. I didn't write it down. And audio's going everywhere.
Yeah. I'm a paediatric physio technician, so.
That's the one.
Yeah. In the NHS. Was sort of in the heights of it, really, when it all started, because a lot of our staff got redeployed into hospitals or actually an outpatient unit, and we're a team of 12 that went down to a team of 3. So
wow,
yeah, I was lucky enough not to be redeployed, so I was very grateful for that. But obviously we had a lot of children to manage in that period, so yeah, from what in at that time I just couldn't see any cricket happening for sort of safety reasons and ECB for getting us back on the park, really.
When did you start sort of playing cricket? And you know, because I know with the two girls I mentioned just before, particularly Marie, it was quite a sort of stop start sort of time, or pretty much all the way through the first half of the season, the summer certainly. I mean, when did you first start getting back into the cricket and know that you'd have some cricket to sort of come onto?
I think I got back into it as soon as I could, just because it's a really good stress relief when you're at work. You're sort of, I use your sport to sort of let your competitive juices out, and it's quite stressful. So as soon as I could, I was sort of in the nets on one-to-one. I can't remember when that was now. I think it was like sort of end of May time, wasn't it, when government
said,
you can go. So I got back to it as soon as I could, just at my local club, and a club in Rockley who were absolutely brilliant to me. They cut me grass nets, so I was using the middle, and just practicing skills, which often you don't get to do in the summer, because you in the winter you're in indoor centres. They were absolutely fantastic, Rockley. So I actually spent a lot of time in the middle, probably more time than I would any other summer, because I was back. And I actually think that put me in such good stead for where I ended when we then started to get some county cricket that was sort of like trial games, really, for the Vipers.
Right.
In Hampshire versus Sussex. So it put me in really good steps, because I'd spent a lot of time on grass and in the middle working on sort of skills that were my weaknesses, and then sort of gradually built into the group sessions. And I actually felt there was two of us that had done that, and we probably felt a little bit ahead of the group in that sense.
Right. It's quite interesting. So we spoke to a few people through lockdown, and you know, some were saying about, you know, if you're coming back from an injury, it was quite a useful time in a way to rehab and stuff. So I suppose as a sports person, it's just trying to utilise that time, isn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely. And I actually had an injury in the winter. So I tore my hamstring sort of in October, and I was just coming back to fitness, fully fit, sort of end of February, March time. So I actually didn't have much winter to work on my game. I did my hamstring quite nastily. So actually it meant that I had sort of a break from the game, and then I came back being refreshed. But then I all of a sudden had a little bit longer to prepare for what was going to be an exciting season. So it actually probably did me a favour in a way. I'd much rather have been playing out in the middle, especially when the weather was so nice. But actually, for me personally, a bit more of a pre-season building, really.
Yeah. God, how was that? How was that tearing your hamstring? I mean, that just sounds hideous, just saying those words.
Yeah, it was absolutely awful. It was first session back, and we were doing fitness testing. And I was like running, turned for a 2, and I just heard it go pop. And I went down like a sack. Yeah, I was like, this is going to be a good year.
So, where your teammates, having been in a similar situation, normally as like an innocent level of kind of abuse along the lines of get up, you're just faking it, because, and then like a dawning realization of, oh no, she actually really hurt herself. Can I assume a similar reaction?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't at Hampshire, so it wasn't. It was an MCC training session that I was part of, like a squad. So I didn't really know the girls that well. So I don't think they sort of the abuse, which would have been quite frustrating, because had I been at the years, well, definitely I would have got a lot of stick. But yeah, I then had to drive to London with this hamstring.
Drive home?
Hanging on, yeah.
No way.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
My gosh. Yeah.
Taking roundabouts in fourth gear.
my right leg, so yeah. just on the accelerator.
Oh, that's gonna hurt. Ouch.
I plugged my seat very close so I didn't have to move my knee.
The Broken Trophy Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at The Broken Trophy and on Instagram at Broken Trophy Pods.
But how does that work then, going into work? As a physio, one would expect, you do quite a lot of stretching, you look after your body very well, etc. If it's somebody who wasn't in that field, you go, oh, come on, you need to stretch a bit more and do a bit more, yoga and that. How did that go down?
I can remember rocking up first day. They were actually, all the physios are really protective of me. They're like, so I just tried to almost pretend it hadn't happened. I just sort of like hobbled in, tried to walk. Obviously, I couldn't walk. And they were like, what have you done? And I explained, they're like, go and get some crutches out the cupboard. And they basically just waited on me, got me my drinks, got me some ice. It was great.
Wow. That's all right.
Tom, we need to go and work. We need to go and work there, Tom.
Yeah, I don't think any of my colleagues would have done that, to be fair.
No, definitely not.
So just looking towards, I know we touched upon, obviously, the final at Edgbaston on Sunday. I mean, just give us a sense of the excitement, I suppose, for you personally going into a final. I know you're in the 2018 Royal London Cup final as well for Hampshire Women.
Yeah.
So it's not your first final, but all the same, it must be incredibly exciting after the summer we've had to be going into a final playing for silverware.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited. I think we're so excited as a group. We've performed absolutely exceptionally through the competition, and we've sort of said, as a group, you don't remember who comes second in a competition. So what's actually done now is irrelevant. It's all what happens on the day on Sunday. So
yes,
we're going to prepare well, and we're going to go in sort of giving it our best. And yeah, I'm so excited. And it's not only, you said it's not my first final, but it's going to be my first time playing live on Sky Sports.
Yeah, of course.
No pressure.
And the camera's on into our face, I'm not sure. No swearing for me, I've got to be professional.
So will you have to do all the, I can't remember what they call them in the trade, but like when you walk towards the camera for the pre-game face shots and all that kind of stuff, do you have to do all that?
I honestly, I have no idea what is going to happen. And
I really hope so.
You have to walk to the camera and then do the sort of fold your arms or hold your bat or whatever it is.
Do you remember the Olympics? They made the Olympic kind of relay squads come out one at a time and do like a little dance and like Charlie's Angels and stuff. you can definitely liven this up, Emily. Definitely.
Amazing.
Yeah, I definitely could bring something. But no, we don't really know what to expect. And obviously, all we've been told is we've got to be really strict on sort of our COVID guidelines, because we're promoting the ECB as well as sort of some Vipers. So we've got to follow that. That's all we've been told at this stage.
Yeah, of course.
Is there any concern? Having just got here and just going to a couple of coaches grab me quickly, there was quite a lot of concern about tomorrow's government announcements and whether that would potentially curtail some of the sports activities. Presumably, it being kind of a top level sports competition, you should be okay.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I don't know. Obviously, with Birmingham going into lockdown, I don't know whether they think about changing location. But I think that this
come to Hampshire. Come to Hampshire. everything else has been at Hampshire.
That's true.
I mean, the pictures are screwed, but you'd be fine. Come on over.
Yeah, so hopefully go to the Oval. I like playing at the Oval.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, if all else fails, Trojans Cricket Club, we can take a Sky Sports camera somewhere. I'm not entirely sure how, but we'll be fine.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I think that's the only thing that potentially could impact us, because we're not allowed crowds in anyway.
Yeah.
And we'll follow all the guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, fingers crossed it goes ahead, and good luck to you and the other Vipers girls, and obviously the Northern Diamonds. Don't want to be biased, but...
We are biased.
Well, we are really, because we are Hampshire-based, so yeah, we are biased.
I'm not going to wish the Northern Diamonds good luck.
No, that's exactly. fair enough. Can you just stay quiet for that little bit?
You're not working for the BBC now.
That's true. Come on, the Vipers.
There you go.
That's what I want to hear.
That's much better.
I'm just too polite for my own good. So obviously this summer as well, you have been doing, and I know you've done it last summer as well in the past, a lot of media work. You do sort of co-coms for Solent Sport on the men's games. What's that been like this summer? And just, I suppose, as another string to your bow with the NHS work and the cricket to do commentary as well.
I'm going to hesitate to say probably a bit better than us two talking, but, you know, we'll go with that.
Well, yeah, goes without saying.
Yeah, it's been quite busy, to be honest, because where everything's been crammed into one sort of 2 months, really, hasn't it? I've been quite busy trying to juggle obviously work and playing my cricket and my training, because it's professional, so you've got the expectation of a high level. So I haven't actually done as much commentary as I sort of usually would. But I've loved it. I mean, Kev, who I do it with, he's a great bloke, and I just love it, because you watch cricket and you learn without even realising. And obviously, been around Hampshire, support the Hampshire lads who haven't actually performed that well, especially in the T20 competition. But I've seen exceptional cricket. Zach Crawley's innings.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure to commentate. I had the pleasure to, one of the only people in the ground to watch that. And had there been a crowd, it would have been exceptional. And do you know what? We, as a commentators, you do miss the crowd. That sounds really
It's interesting. Yeah.
Just as... you don't necessarily zone into the crowd, but it's sort of that background noise, and that the last game that Hampshire had where Shaheen Afridi got a forfeit.
Yeah.
You can imagine a crowd in there, like with him running in for his hat trick even. And sort of you as commentators have to build it up without that background noise, and that sort of adds to it. So yeah, I have really missed the crowd side of things, but I've also felt very lucky that I've had a pass to get into all these games to watch it, whether Hampshire win or lose.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And are you piping in kind of the crowd music in the commentary booth or not?
No, we're not, but we end up talking about the commentator off there who was dancing in the last one. We have to fill it somehow. We can't talk about the crowd doing the Mexican wave, but we can talk about the commentators dancing to our left.
It's true. I'd always think it's the hardest job in the world commentating on cricket, because there's not actually that much happens like all the time.
I think that's what you love about the segues, though, don't you? Like, TMS are renowned for it, aren't they? Just going off into a complete tangent about something random. And I think that's, for me anyway, and I think a lot of cricket fans, that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think more so in the Red Bull format. So they are long days. Our bowlers walk back to their mark so slowly, and you've got to figure out something. Like, the field doesn't change, you've got to figure out something to talk about. And yeah, I've talked about some really strange things on air. But in the white ball game, in T20 particularly, things are a bit quicker, and you can talk about, if you need to fill, just talk about that fielder who's just gone out to the boundary or something. Or about an exceptional shot or something like that. But in the Red Bull game, it can be quite challenging to...
What's the most random sort of topic you think you've sort of got onto then in Red Bull commentary?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
There's some that, you know, I'll be watching the cricket and my wife will sort of tune in for a little while, and they'll be talking like a flock of birds flying over the ground, or I don't know, just something completely random. And my wife would be like, what are you watching? Like, this isn't even sport. It's just it's like a nature show or something insane.
That, where you talk about the birds, you know you're the commentator's struggling. When you hear the commentator say, like, it's a lovely day here at the Aegeus Bowl, the sun is shining, they are trying to fill and they can't think of anything else. So, yeah, many of those occasions, especially when there's not a lot going on. But you're putting me on the spot for a really random thing that we spoke about, but... it all depends on the commentator as well, because sometimes you're commentating with like Kev, who's a bit more sort of current, up to date. We talk about sort of, he's very good at filling. He'll either ask questions about sort of me, our cricket and the women's cricket to fill. But sometimes when you're on with sort of the older generation, it can be quite
just generally. So who's the commentator you aspire to be most like?
Oh, I'd quite like to be like, I was going to say a TV commentator, but that's slightly different. I quite like, I love Bumble. I just think he brings sort of, he is himself. He brings that character to when you listen, and if sort of you listen to me, that's the one thing Kev told me first time I went on air, is just be yourself. So I don't want to be that boring commentator that just says how it is. I like how Bumble sort of is himself and brings, he just makes you laugh, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And who's the one that comes on, you go, oh Jesus. For me in rugby it's Wayne Barnes, shut up. But in cricket, who's the one that comes on and you go, oh Jesus, he or she's just really boring.
Well, I don't know. Who would I not like listening to? I feel like I'd get told off.
Yeah. it's a perilous position. Start slagging off your co-commentators.
The next one you get will be with that person.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll stay.
Yeah.
The Broken Trophy Podcast. Subscribe and download all of our episodes from Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
What I find interesting in cricket is a vast majority of commentators are actually ex-cricket players. But in some sports, you get a lot less ex-players actually commentating. Is that just kind of a thing a little bit unique to cricket, or...?
I think in cricket, there's obviously, for people that don't know what's going on, I think cricket is a sport that you need to know a lot of what's going on, the tactics, that sort of inside knowledge that really does help you explain. Liam Dawson was who's obviously injured, he's been in the commentary box with us for the T20s, and actually just having him as a player, a current player's insight of what he would be thinking in this situation and stuff, it really does help, and it really does sell it to the audience. And at the end of the day, as a commentator, that's what you've got to do. You want people to tune in, you want people to listen to what's going on. So I do think with cricket, it's quite a complicated sport, and it's quite a tactical sport. And I'm not saying other sports aren't, but I do think you do need that knowledge to
be a
better commentator.
So kind of two follow-up questions. One, we interviewed Liam Dawson, very pleasant, very nice guy. Everyone else we interviewed afterwards, who's kind of played with him, calls him very, very grumpy and moody. So, you know, is he the same when he's commentating? And then, so, yeah, we'll go with that one first.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I, especially for him having such a severe injury, being ruled out, I expected him to be sort of struggling. But actually, he was very sort of up in his spirits. He seemed in a really good place, and he actually looked really quite fit other than his leg. And I think for Liam, like, he's got a young family now, hasn't he? He's just had his child, and probably he's probably spending more time at home with them and really enjoying that. So he seemed to me in good spirits, and he was actually good to be on air with. And I suppose at times he probably was grumpy, but he had every right to be grumpy watching what he watched.
Yeah, good point. Good point, mate.
I've got to say, just before you ask that second question, Steph, I hate giving praise out to Dawes, but I found his commentary exceptional, because quite often he was calling what was happening before it even happened. You know, he knew what shot the batsman was trying to play, knew what the bowler's, you know, I know he's involved in the camp, but he seemed to have a huge understanding of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I'd probably go there and say he's Hampshire's best player. I think we really do miss him in the side when he doesn't play as an all-rounder with both of the bat and the ball, and as a character and leader of the group as well. And I think his sort of fight at times is what was noticeable. Obviously, we couldn't say too much because Liam was sat next to us, but it was very noticeable him not being on the pitch, just because he seems to pull people up. He seems to get the best out of players. And I actually think Dawson's a really good leader. So he's played for many years now. He's played with some good players, and he's now a senior player. So his knowledge, and it did surprise me actually as well, sort of sat next to him, how much he really did know. And as you said, he did preempt a lot of what's happening. So as a commentator, it was great. Off you go, Dawson. tell us what's going to happen, then I can plan what to say.
No, we don't want to praise him too much, but yeah, I was quite impressed with his commentary stint, I've got to say.
that'll do now.
Yeah,
that'll do. So my second question was then, basically I'll leave you alone after that, was around, leading on from your comment around needing cricketers to kind of explain cricket, I've been lucky enough to work in kind of international companies and working with people who live in countries where cricket's not played. And it's the hardest sport I've ever had to try and describe what the hell is going on. Americans, forget it. They're never going to buy into it. And I think I've got to face the same thing with rugby to a degree with the scrum and a decent maul. I'm getting very excited about it. People are looking at it going, "The hell's going on? They're just pushing and fighting."
That's
where's
exactly
the ball?
What I think when I watch rugby. I'm like,
exactly.
Why are you playing that? You should. And I'm like, why are they not running foot? Why are they not running
foot? And the same thing with cricket. So how do we expand cricket outside of its natural audience? Because like I see it here, there's a really good youth section for cricket at Trojans, but numbers wise it's still quite small compared to the other sports like hockey, rugby, my daughter's football squad. Numbers are actually still quite small. How do you expand cricket past, if you like, its natural homelands, if you like?
I think what the country sort of doing, the ECB is doing currently, I know the 100 balls have a very mixed sort of sports, but I actually think the 100 ball being on the BBC, so it's going to be easy to access, and there's going to be big sort of media on it, and I think that is going to be, I think that's really exciting for the game, because I think you need to get those people, as you said, that would usually be football, zoned in. And I also think a big thing is in schools, getting good quality experiences in schools. I think if you have a PE teacher that doesn't know what cricket's about or doesn't like cricket, and you get them stood, you just basically have a child stood in the middle of a field and touches the ball once in their PE lesson, that's not good selling of the game. If you have coaches coming in sort of through the Chance to Shine and all these all-star cricket initiatives, and you actually get them playing, having fun, hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you're going to get people coming in. And I think, especially in the women's game as well, it's starting, there's more role models appearing. And I think, I think a big thing is getting them in it young, which I think All Stars been around for a couple of years has been absolutely brilliant. I think also in this country, football and rugby is probably always going to lead the way. Probably because of the weather, that's what I like to blame. Especially
the
whole year round here, isn't it?
What? No, come on, rugby's just better. You can't get past that. So if we ignore that for a second.
If we're in Australia, it's sunny and people want to be out. I never think cricket will be the leading sport, but also England winning the World Cup.
Yeah, massive.
And it's almost been annoying that we haven't had this season, because I do think the game would have grown following what happened.
No, I do massively agree, actually. We see it on a youth sport, the massive knock-on impact. If the national team does well, you get a massive influx of kids. You might not keep them all long term, but you're going to keep a decent proportion of them. Then it's our challenge, then keep them engaged and keep them wanting to keep coming back.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, credit to, I think England's white ball team at the moment, it's world class, and it's so enjoyable to watch, and people almost watch it and go wow, even if they don't know what it is. So I think England are doing very well at selling cricket at the moment from that top level.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, long way.
Sorry, Tom, you're supposed to be taking charge of this one, because it's
No, it's fine. Yeah. Some quite pertinent questions.
You've excelled yourself. I'll get a proper telling off after this.
No.
Second you leave the pod, I'll get a phone call. What were you doing? You ruined it. I had all these carefully scripted cricket questions.
I think we've covered most of the questions we were going to ask. One thing I did want to touch upon, and the reason, Emily, we started chatting about you coming on the pod was a conversation we had with Katie George, where she retold the story that you dropped a catch off her bowling because you were chatting to your mum at the boundary. And we needed to clear that up, whether that was actually true, and just to get your side of the story to that.
Well, I want to get my side to the story. It wasn't off her bowling. But
all right.
Wilson at the time, right. But I did drop a catch being on the boundary, and it was actually Jenny Gunn, so quite a big wicket. I was talking to her, that did happen, but I'll never do it again.
Katie said your mum was mortified afterwards.
Yeah, she does. Was. My mum's like sort of, everyone calls her Mrs. Windsor, and she's sort of that teen mum, really. Everyone goes up to her, and my mum's more excited to see everyone else than they actually is me. And so, yeah, mum was like apologising to everyone. It was my fault.
Brilliant. And what, I mean, just I suppose before we say goodbye, like, just I know it's obviously a very unsettling time, uncertain time and unsettling time. But I suppose looking forward, you know, with your cricket career and looking to next summer and beyond, I mean, what does the future look like for you? Is cricket still, you know, a massive part of your future and the media work, I suppose, as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think while you're young, you've got to take all these opportunities you can get. And the way the women's going, there's starting to be money in it. So then you can sort of spend more time doing it. I think previously, you sort of juggled your work and your cricket balance, but your sort of work always took priority because you needed to earn. But sort of throughout this competition, we've had a pay-to-play wage, and there is some professional contracts, obviously, within regions. And I think that's only going to grow. There's going to be more and more of those sort of going. So I think for me personally, I quite like to think in the short term, just like keep enjoying my cricket, keep learning, keep getting better, and then take my opportunities when they come. And then who knows what will happen, really. But I think it's a really exciting time to be in the women's game. And I think even for youngsters, I'm jealous of youngsters, the opportunities they get now. I'm like, I wish our bat academy was in place when I was that age, sort of thing. So yeah, it's really exciting. And I sort of do a lot of coaching as well. So I really strive to sort of, so I coach sort of through the Hampshire age groups and did some young Vipers stuff this winter, so really try and give my experiences to them and actually let them have a female role model, female coach to look up to, which is becoming more and more prominent in the game now. So yeah, definitely be around the game, sort of either media, coaching or playing. Keep myself busy, no doubt.
Amazing, that's brilliant. Oh, you know, good luck with it all, and massive good luck for Sunday. Up the Vipers, we'll be cheering you on. And before we let you, what the hell are you wearing?
Jesus, I've been given these hats. Someone's just given me 20 of these hats for my girls' squad and some scrunchies. Scrunchies probably less useful for me.
Wow.
That's not good,
yeah. They're right, aren't they?
It's like the Stone Roses are taking over your cricket team.
Look at this. Oh, they're amazing. Sorry. Anyway,
that's all right. That's all right.
Go Vipers.
Go Vipers. Before we let you go, the question we ask all our guests before we say goodbye is, can you nominate somebody else that you know within cricket to come on a future episode of the pod? So obviously Katie, I think, was nominated you.
Yes, I can.
Go on then, hit us up.
I'm going to nominate Charlotte Taylor, who's also a Vipers, but has like an incredible sort of story, sort of journey through Hampshire, a really, really nasty injury where she never thought she was going to play again, to now getting a call up to the Vipers and playing exceptionally well. So I think she'd be a great, great listen for future podcasts.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Well, thank you.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. And as he said, good luck on Sunday. I hope it goes well. And yeah, all the best. See you soon.
Go Vipers.
See you later.
Cheers, Emily.
Cheers.
All the best.
Bye.
See ya.
You're listening to the Broken Trophy Podcast, and welcome to our new segment, After Hours.
So that was our chat with Emily Windsor, which we recorded on Monday. Today's now Thursday. Steph, a few days to think about that. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was great. It was good. Really interesting kind of chat about kind of her career, and obviously Go Vipers for Saturday. Can't forget that.
No. And I listening back as I edited it earlier, I'm too diplomatic, aren't I? Trying to praise, you know, the Northern Diamonds. It's just not, you know, we're Hampshire through and through, aren't we?
Well, yeah. Well, you're not really. You're from Guernsey, aren't you, or something?
Well, that's true. But then you're from Kent.
Exactly. So
we're not really. No. But because we live locally, we'll support the Vipers. Come on, exactly. Go Vipers.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. Go Vipers.
Will you be tuning in on Sunday?
Oh, I thought it was Saturday.
Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday, is it? That's how good I am with it. It depends what time's on.
Afternoon.
You see, Tom, you made it sound like you're all over it.
What do you mean? It depends what time it's on. Just say yes. I will be watching it. I will be there, gripped.
Tom, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Go on.
I don't do all this flaky crap that you do.
No?
If I say I'm going to watch it, I'll watch it. But if you can't tell me what time it is, I can't commit to watching it.
Right.
Well, you're flaky, but flaky. You know, we're different ends of the spectrum here.
Why am I flaky?
So, listeners, we're sat in a pub Saturday evening.
Friday evening
even. Tom has an idea about playing golf.
I didn't have the idea.
Lack of sport being available. Our good friend Sean the Tarmacker, he was there.
Yeah.
And so we all had, that's a great idea. Yeah, well, look at that. Each one gets roles. Sean goes, shall I book something? Yeah, cool. So in the morning, Sean and I, you know, having our morning cornflakes. Sun's coming up. There's roosters roosting. Roosters doing. Cockerels doing something.
Whatever.
In the back garden, whatever it is. Find a course. We book it. We contact Tom. I can't. Someone's coming to look at my bathroom, at my plumbing. Yeah. Not a daughter, that.
I don't understand. Why didn't you check in with me to make sure I was still available? Because you know what it's like when you've had a few beers and you commit to something.
Yeah, if I commit, I'm there. I committed to do a marathon before and didn't want to do it, but I did it because I committed. Oh,
you know, that's where we differ, isn't it? I've got more important things to do.
That's you island types.
See, yeah, exactly.
I reckon if Shooter Nikki had committed, she'd have been there.
No, I disagree. I just think a courtesy, you know, rechecking in on the morning. Are we still all right for this? Is everyone still up for it? You obviously liaised with Sean on the morning.
Look, Sean messaged me and said, I can't get into this club. Do you know any others? I said, let me try Anfield. That's me typing, by the way.
Anyway, did you have a good round without me?
We had a lovely round. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Recalled many things throughout it. So if we did a good shot, it was a good shot. If it was a bad shot, we'd done a Tom. Or flaky, depending on how we were feeling. Right. No, we had a great Tom.
So I got a lot of abuse.
Yeah, a lot. It's not really a sport, but it was all right.
Well, you might have to get used to it because, I mean, you know, with the current predicament with COVID and the new restrictions coming in, golf might be the end. For example, you know, I talked about my five-a-side last week. That has now been canned for this week, subject to a deep clean of the hall. We might be outside next week if we're lucky.
But you're all quite old.
Actually, I am probably one of the oldest that plays on the Thursday.
I thought you could have found a way to play your five-a-side, really.
I thought we could, yeah, I thought we were going to get away with it. But it's the school. We play in a school hall and they've cancelled it. So yeah, disaster, absolute disaster. And I mean, you know, on a serious note, because we are a sports podcast and we love our sport loosely, in the loosest sense of the term, obviously in October, the government were looking to introduce sort of spectators to grounds at certain sporting events and stuff. That's obviously now been scrapped. So it's going to be even longer until we have any fans in the grounds, and yet people can still go to pubs and restaurants and blah, blah, blah. Well, what do you think about that?
Bloody hell. Well, somebody come. I know you've just been interviewed for a pod, but you know, you suddenly went a bit serious.
Sorry. But I mean,
yeah. So
it's not great, is it? It's not great.
It is what it is.
It's annoying though, isn't it?
Oh, lots of things are annoying. Stuck working at home constantly is quite annoying as well. But on that note, I just think, is it actually the stadium bit itself, or is it the people getting to the stadium? If we're saying, from what I understand, if you're saying the risk is around public transport and that kind of stuff, if you're encouraging 5,000 people to come to the Aegeus, are they all going to get on a bus from the station or the train, park and ride? So actually, is the risk more the getting there than actually sitting in a stadium? And everyone's bitching on Twitter about, but they can sit in an open-air stadium and it's all fine, and missing the bit about how they get there. Because how are you going to get 5,000 people to a stadium without sharing lots of space together? You're not going to put on one train for one person and start, you know, arriving 7 days before. So I kind of feel like all the sportsmen who are bitching need to kind of pipe down a little bit. But anyway, that aside, it's all good.
Stephen Hargrave with one of the answers of the series there. I mean... You almost sound intelligent there.
No, definitely not. Anyway, can we go back to Kepa giving Liverpool a free goal?
Brilliant. What a legend, eh? I mean, nothing, you know, he must have known, obviously, going into that game, how much pressure there was on his position. I mean, maybe he knew already that they're bringing in a new goalie, I don't know, but to dilly-dally on the ball with Sadio Mane running towards you like that.
Dilly-dally?
Yeah.
All right, mum.
He just gets the ball and he's like, which way should I kick it? Oh, Mane's got it. Damn, goal.
I'm just looking now. They have actually signed that keeper, haven't they?
Yeah, they've signed Mendy from Rennes, haven't they? So
yeah.
He is done.
He's done. He's best finding another club and he ain't going to find the wages I'm sure they're paying him now.
It's quite sad, isn't it? It is quite sad.
How much do they pay? 70-odd million.
I wonder where he'll end up next. Maybe Spurs.
Probably Man U. The home of the losers.
Oh, don't. Come on, Rash.
How did Man U get on the weekend?
The weekend, I can't remember last weekend, but we did win midweek in the Carabao Cup, 3-0 against Luton.
Sorry, the whatever cup. Well, how do you get on the Premiership?
Oh, don't know. Doesn't matter. Let's not talk about it. Like,
you know, that bloke is like 95.
What, Roy Hodgson? Yeah, I mean, you know, Crystal Palace. I mean, again, Wilfred Zaha, another player Man United had and sold.
Yeah.
It came back to haunt us.
Again.
Just embarrassing, isn't it? It really is. Yeah.
But, you know.
But Thiago looked good, though, didn't he, for your lot? Frustratingly. Yeah,
he's good. I mean, to get him for that little, I'm surprised, Man, you didn't come in and get him, but, you know.
Obviously, we know something about him that, you know, exactly. Suspect character or something like that. It must be something. done our due diligence on him. Oh, God, it's embarrassing. I mean, he was just unreal. He could have got he should have been man of the match just for half a game. He was class.
Yeah. And then I didn't quite guess. We bought the other striker from Watford, didn't we? Was it Watford or Wolves?
Oh, Liverpool. Jota, yeah, sorry, yeah, Wolves, yeah.
But they were in for one from Watford as well.
Were they?
Yeah, they're talking about buying one from what I can't find it.
Oh, right. I don't know.
Anyway.
But they've I mean, Liverpool, they always say, don't they, you've got to strengthen while you're winning in that, and they've brought in two brilliant players, I think. So
however, the big news, I forgot this, in our pre-pod chat catch-up meet thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen the big news of the day?
Which is?
That Wrexham are potentially being bought by Ryan Reynolds.
I did see something about Wrexham. I have seen Wrexham sort of trending on Twitter, but I didn't know what the story was about.
That's why.
Wow.
That's why. The bloke from Deadpool is looking to buy it. However, it's got to be agreed because I think Wrexham's owned by the Supporters Trust or something.
Right. Okay.
So there's going to like an EGM.
Yeah.
And he's going to buy Wrexham. Why in God's name would he want to buy Wrexham?
Oh, that's a bit random. Do you foresee them sort of charging up the leagues and heading towards the Premiership in due course?
I doubt it. However, I didn't realise this. So he owns a gin company. That's why now it all makes sense. Jenny, right. Friend of the show, Jenny, the serious one.
Yeah.
She's in love with Ryan Reynolds. Like, in love.
Why?
Well, I think the fact that he's young, handsome and good looking, but you know, who knows?
Right.
And he's made a gin called Aviation Gin, which got bought out by Diageo. That's the fella.
Right. So he's
currently got £460 million sat in his back pocket.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. So I'm just looking him up. Yeah, okay. So now it all makes sense. I do vaguely know that, because I didn't really know who you're talking about, to be honest, when you started that little story. No.
Do you know why? Have you ever watched Deadpool?
No.
What is wrong with you?
I don't really watch much TV apart from sport, to be honest.
But go watch Deadpool. You'll find Deadpool very funny.
Deadpool. What's it about?
I'm only going into it. Jenny, if you're listening, can you please just sort Tom out, please?
Oh dear. Yeah. So Maria's my wife has started getting into a lot of Netflix series over.
Oh, sorry.
Over a lot. Yeah. No, not the porn thing. Not that I know of, anyway. but no, she's been getting into a lot of Netflix series.
Has she?
So that's I find it quite weird with Netflix series because it's like it takes over your life. So every night you're just watching the same thing and it's like time stands still away from it, don't you think? Or is that just me?
I don't personally watch them. My wife does.
Right.
Or watching the other. And she, same thing, gets kind of obsessed by one series and has to kind of watch it religiously to the finish.
Yeah. It's like...
I'm not really that way inclined.
It's like all rational thought. It's like, oh, it's bedtime. Oh, no, don't worry about bed. You just watch this until 2 a.m. or something. And it's not good for the health, I don't think.
That's your biggest concern. I think you're good.
First world problems, right?
Exactly. Well, you wanted to give a little rest in peace too.
Rest in peace to Dean Jones, ex-Australian cricketer who passed away at the IPL while commentating today. Phenomenal cricketer.
Well, whilst commentating?
Well, not literally while commentating. He's in India for the IPL and he's there commentating. And overnight he's passed away, which is incredibly sad. Phenomenal batsman. And I always remember playing cricket in the back garden as a kid with my mates. And we'd all be different players. And he was always one of the players we would be when we were playing. So it's like, you know, one of those sort of childhood names. Real sad to see him go. So rest in peace, Dean Jones. What a legend. Obviously, you don't know who we're talking about at this point, but...
I'll do my best.
You do know. You sort of vaguely know the sport of cricket.
You seem quite upset. So
yeah. That's sad, man. It's, you know, it's so sudden. So what's the rest of your sport week looking like anyway? What are you up to for the next few days?
I don't know, really. Trying to think. The girls are playing... I don't know who they're playing. The girls are playing someone at football on Saturday.
Yeah.
Then rugby Sunday. That's about it, really.
Is there any impact to your sort of sporting regimes through all the new restrictions?
No.
That's good.
We still can't play fixtures for rugby, but apart from that, it's as was.
It all feels a bit like, I mean, I get that, you know, the tone's changed, hasn't it, about, you know, being more serious from the Prime Minister and stuff, but it doesn't feel like huge amount of change at this point to what was like indoor sport and stuff like that, maybe. But
I can only imagine there's more coming down the track, but we'll see.
It's almost a bit.
However, tonight, and I can update you on this for tomorrow, for next week's pod.
Go on.
Much more importantly, I'm taking Sophie and a couple of her friends to go and watch Mean Girls. I've never seen Mean Girls. I'm led to believe it's very much a chick flick.
Okay. Again, Mean Girls doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay. No idea. I'm taking them to there's like an open air cinema.
Okay.
You sit there and you have car karaoke beforehand.
Right. Okay. How does that work then? Do you stick the radio on and sing along or something?
I will let you know next week.
Right. Okay. Where is this taking place?
In somewhere in Curdridge, one of the farm fields there.
Oh, right. That's quite cool.
Big screen, FM radio, and you watch the film.
Right.
We'll see what happens. I'm taking a book.
Yeah. Will you
sit in the boot?
I was going to say, you don't want to get much peace. I imagine the girls can be quite vocal while they're, especially during karaoke.
Yeah, so it'll be fine. I'll sit in the boot, the book, take the headphones, you know, I'll be fine.
Do you have to stay in the car or do you get a little spot outside the car you can sit?
Yeah, you've got to stay in the car.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, right. Well, I think there's been a few of these sort of, drive-in sort of gigs or shows or whatever.
A girl at work who listens to the pod, who I won't name her because she'll get embarrassed. But you know, her boyfriend, husband, let's go boyfriend, got us some tickets to go and watch it in Bristol. And I think she was thinking park at the back, take a little duvet and enjoy yourself. Alas, that didn't happen, I believe. But you know, we did check.
So you didn't want to name her because you didn't want to embarrass her, but you have said that she wanted a bit of hanky-panky at the back of a drive-in cinema showing.
Hanky-panky? And what's the other one you said? Willy-nilly? It's
like dilly-dally.
What's got into you?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think,
hanky-panky?
I did have a Zoom call with my parents last night, so maybe it's just a little bit, you know, sort of lingered in my system, you know.
Were they off to do some hanky-panky?
Oh God! How do we get here? Come on! No, funnily enough, my mum was saying, "Oh,
what? What are you going to say?"
What I was going to say was my mum was complaining that they're only having beans on toast for tea, and then my dad pipes up and said he's been at home all day because he's now retired and he hadn't bothered to cook anything. So, Dad, could you not have cooked a meal?
What were the two of them doing all day?
Well, mum was at work. Dad was at home. He's bought some new hydrangeas, but he couldn't plant them because it was raining. Can you imagine?
I've got nothing. Right, on that bombshell. I don't even know what a hydrangea is, but I'm sure somebody will.
Google it.
Yeah,
it's a lovely shrub. It's a lovely shrub.
You are worrying me more and more and more. But let's go.
Right. Anyway,
who have we got on next week? We don't know, we can't say, can we? Are you trying to keep
us? No, well, we're trying to keep it under wraps, aren't we? But next week's guest.
You will tell me, won't you?
Yes, I will. I will tell you. Very exciting. Very exciting. Next week's guest. An international sports person.
You're just making it up, or was it really exciting?
No, it was. It is really exciting, I think.
Cricketer?
No.
Oh. Okay.
One of your egg chasers.
Yes. That's going to be a good one then, in that case.
You're so easily pleased.
More interesting.
I'll tell you what, listening to the Emily episode, as I said, my favourite bit was when she mocked you about rugby. And I thought that was a nice touch.
She did try.
Yeah.
The bit you missed beforehand was me talking about putting rugby pictures all across the cricket fields. Mm. You were busy doing something at the start of the pod.
Oh, the reason I was flustered at the start of that episode is when I put my headphones on, the previous episode we recorded with Luke Chadwick was blaring down my headphones. And I was going onto different apps to try and stop it. And it just started playing in more places. It was like my laptop was haunted by Luke Chadwick. It was just booming out of my headphones. It was so bizarre.
It's kind of Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but all good. All good. Anyway, on that bombshell, I think.
Rather than your parents doing hanky panky.
And planting hydrangeas in the rain, or not, should I say? I don't really understand why I couldn't plant it in the rain, though.
What now?
Well, why couldn't Dad plant the hydrangeas in the rain?
Because the soil, I think, gets too clacky, so you can't then make the hole to put them in.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair comment. You come up with a couple of decent answers today. I'm impressed with you.
Someone's got work to do.
Right. Right, on that bombshell. We'll see you next week.
See ya.